Hare Krishna. I don't know how many of you have read in the news and the article I put up there from a day or two back about world hunger hitting the 1 billion mark. But it's quite an alarming thing, quite a sorry state of affairs for the world, especially if you read the article. Something I spoke about last night to the devotees. One perspective is that we who are eating feasts today, everyone's going to have a Sunday feast, and eat by comparison to these people a feast also once, if not twice a day, and have the luxury of even leaving prasadam behind because we're served too much, or because we just don't want to eat that much. We should really count our lucky stars and be appreciative of the fact that we're living in such relative luxury. And by thanking our lucky stars, of course, it means not just saying thank you, but taking advantage of the opportunity that good health, plenty of food, comfortable living circumstances affords, and that is that we can easily practice Krishna consciousness. If you're very sick, if you're very hungry, you can't practice spiritual life unless you happen to be a transcendentalist. So the fact that Krishna has given us this luxury of living in such relative comfort means that we should really take advantage of His grace, take advantage of His mercy, and make the best of that situation by not becoming distracted and getting more and more into sense gratification, but by applying ourselves and really becoming Krishna conscious while it lasts. Who knows how long it will last. Many parts of the world where devotees may be listening to, especially this podcast, especially in Europe, they have experience of also famine. They have experience of want. They have experience of war and so many other things. Even in Ukraine during the Second World War, millions of people were just starved to death. I had experience for some time here in Hungary of just eating bread, because that was all that was available, and even that was available with difficulty and at great cost. So it's not even guaranteed that it's always there, but we're fortunate that it is, and therefore let's be Krishna conscious while we have this very, really luxurious opportunity to do so. And simultaneously, somehow or another, we need to balance our lifestyle in such a way that for the poor people, who, 1 billion people, which is a really staggering figure, who are so unfortunate, that we try to do something for them. Just reflect on that. 1 billion people is a sixth of the world's population. It was 900 million prior to this global crisis, and now another 100 million due to the increased food price, increased unemployment. They've also going hungry. And most of that is in Pacific Asia and Sub-Saharan Africa. That's where all of it is. Interesting that there's only 15 million people who are in the hungry condition in the developed world. So how is it that we can really help these people? Well, one is certainly by learning how to both live within our means and to live according to our needs. Because an interesting point that's mentioned in this article is that while this part of the world is getting poorer and poorer, and they say that they're more hungry now than ever before in the history of the world, or at least as long as they've kept a record of such things. So in a world where there's so much wealth and opulence, it's a disgrace that so many people should be going hungry. And yet at the same time, in the developed world, people are getting richer and richer. So there's a real imbalance. As Srila Prabhupada would often say, the issue is not that the world cannot feed the people, but there are certain people who are living and have assets way, way beyond anything that they need and just collect and accumulate wealth to no end, while other people don't have the basic necessities of life. And at least we can contribute to reestablishing that balance by ourselves living, as I mentioned before on different podcasts, living according to our means, not getting into debt, not trying to acquire unnecessary opulence, not having more vehicles than required, larger vehicle required, larger house than required, keeping our carbon footprint in the world to a reasonable minimum, and by changing our own lifestyle and showing that by example, we can inspire others to do the same. And naturally, then there becomes a shift in resources, and a lot of these people can actually have the food that they need in order to live. You know, it was in Srila Prabhupada's time that Srila Prabhupada actually established ISKCON Food Relief, and he did that for food distribution in Mayapur, in Bangladesh, in Nepal. Those are the three places I remember, and I remember that every yatra had to give a certain fixed amount for that prasadam distribution in these countries. It was Srila Prabhupada's answer to ISKCON's contribution to feeding the poor. Because it's not that we're indifferent to this. We may say, well, the real medicine for helping people is to give them transcendental knowledge, and it is. But people can't take the transcendental knowledge when they're in suffering conditions of life. So part of giving them transcendental knowledge is also giving them food to eat. And if devotees can participate in programs where they can help in those parts of the world where we have centers, such as India and Asia, where our centers distribute food, then we can do that and ensure that that gets done to larger and larger degrees by giving more and more support. And of course, at the same time, ensuring that those people who are getting dal and chapatis, that they also are getting, or khichdi, are also getting a chance to chant Hare Krishna and getting some literature if they can read, although many of these people probably can't. So somehow or another, try to help those who are in less fortunate circumstances of life, because a Vaishnava is paradukaduki. He's sad to see the unhappiness and the sorrow and the misery of others. And simultaneously, let's be aware how merciful Krishna is to us, that we're not in that situation. And unlike the materialistic people, it isn't that we want to just simply compound on our good fortune and increase our wealth to no end, but rather, no, we want to be thankful for having the necessities of life and applying our resources, energy, intelligence to being Krishna conscious. And if actually people all over the world did that, or had the opportunity to do that, then everyone would have plenty to eat, because Krishna would give everyone what they needed, and those who had more than they needed, then they would realize that they're actually causing unnecessary suffering for others by upsetting the natural balance of things. Anyway, if you didn't read this article, I've sort of given a little purport on it, but still go through it. It's an eye-opener, and just one of the many eye-openers of how miserable many, many people in this world are actually living. And perhaps if we're a little more in touch with that, then we're a little more aware of how little we are really suffering in a real sense, and some of our mental problems are no problems at all by comparison to the real difficulties that other people have to endure. Hare Krishna.